Anyone else?
I'll
Okay, I wanted to speak about three specific areas. Focus least in this context on the first two. Not to say that they aren't chassam very important, but I think the most, they're very important, but I want to focus mostly on the third one. First and foremost, I wanted to speak about your personal growth, spiritual growth over the summer. I'll try to keep that very brief, up to a few minutes. Number two, in terms of controlling campers and like behavioral problems, I had one or two things I thought worthwhile to say, but I'm not really going to get into that. That's probably your division head, or Rosh Hadar, or whatever they call him, whatever camp you go to. His job. And most importantly, I'm going to spend most of the time I think I'll spend is probably going to be on chinuch, inspiration, education, trying your best to religiously inspire campers. After all, coming out of Shana Aleph, you know, no one else had ever thought that they'd go back and change the entire camp, you know, besides you. And, you know, that's, you know, see, everyone goes back to the end of Shana Aleph thinking they're going to go back. And, you know, now that I'm so religiously inspired and talented and cool that I still used to be in high school, I'm not going to be one of those guys who came back and got too frum for the kids. I'm going to handle everything and make everyone frum. Everything's going to be great. So I wish you atzlacha, but here are a few tips and pointers that can maybe help you in your endeavors. Especially being that, you know, the camps aren't all perfect just yet, and there have been people in the past year, two, three, four, every single year since we started going to Israel, who've been trying to do so. Again, it's definitely worthwhile to aspire towards and to impact, and for sure has been serious impacts that have been made in sleeper camps, serious hashbah that counselors have given towards campers. But nonetheless, I think I'd like to add in a few hours anyhow. First of all, in terms of you, I want to break that into two specific parts, your religious growth. I guess there's the swimming around the Asei Tov, so the Asei Tov, and just in terms of learning and religious growth, and, you know, keep your hand in the pulse during davening. Ironically, sometimes when you're in yeshiva, it's tougher to daven with kavanah because you're learning all day long, everything's the Baruch Hashem, all of a sudden you get out, you go back to the mountain, you realize, my goodness, I really enjoy davening more. I have the opportunity to do that, to retain davening on a serious level. And for sure, learning. If you have a camp with a base medrash, learning the base medrash, Ein Adoma going into a base medrash, Tanakh going into a base medrash, even though it makes all sense in the world to be able to whip out the Arsbo Gemara in about 7 minutes, run through the daf, you know, through the intricate sugis of Baba Bashi, keep up with the daf Yomi, while campers are fist fighting, water fighting, you know, and everything else, that's playing hockey in the bunks, and everything else that goes on, there's a good chance it's healthy if you can get a break for 45 minutes. It means using your break period, whatever it is, get into a base medrash. I would say that's definitely a healthy thing. You should have a bikoveit every day at this time, after this, whatever it is, to go into a base medrash. I would say keep things simple. Better to do a mishnah in 2 days, even if you're on the mishnah's yomi plan, than to read through four mishnah's in 4 days and understand and take out with it nothing. That's like the, you know, it happens often. You read through, you don't know what you're talking about, you just move on right to because you've got to finish the parak by the end of the day. People should aspire to have larger goals, but more important, should do the smaller goals and do them well and feel like you're actually accomplishing and being productive than the alternative. In terms of the Sor Meira, many of the Koei camps that we go to have girls. So on the most simple level of Hirhurim, of Shmiris, Hainayim, the real Yetzirah, the real issues that come up, I don't want to over-discuss that now, but a person should be very careful about Shemir Sainai, that you're hurting, the person finds himself in trouble, finds himself in situations. So try your best to avoid as much as you can. Some camps are better at it than others. Some camps, the natural inclination to be more mixed, less mixed. But a person should have their hand on the pulse in that area. Just because you're leaving yeshiva doesn't make it mutter. You know, just because the world you grew up in doesn't know it's us, or doesn't mean that it's really true. Again, I'm not against developing a relationship with girls. I think that it definitely could be healthy in many contexts if it's done the right way and how, if whatnot. If I was interested in the more, you know, quiet level, we'll talk about it. Very often over the summers, the natural thing is that, you know, people meet and have normal relationships and you develop relationships, and I'm not against them. I think it's a great way to meet people. It's a great way to, you know, to find a spouse. It's a great way to... It develops a lot of confidence in people, and there are other advantages as well. Keeps you part of the world a little bit. Nonetheless, I just want to make people aware of two specific potential concerns, in addition to the ones we mentioned earlier on. Once you start getting into those late night walks where no one else is around, so to start, again, if there's late night walks and people can see you, it's not a problem of yichud. If people can't see you just because you're outdoors, you should be aware it's an issue of yichud. You should be aware. In other words, just because indoors, outdoors, that make a difference. Yichud is halach when you are with female or two females, and for that matter, and you cannot be seen, perceived, you know, that type of thing by other people. Just in terms of pasha halacha, that in and of itself is an issur. And needless to say, the reason why it's an issur, whether it's daraisa or darabanan, major machlokas. Needless to say, the reason why is probably equally pertinent as well. Those late night conversations, you find yourself, you know, googly eyeing into some girl late night, getting as close as you possibly can, not touching, because show me the key, etc., etc. It's worthwhile to have your hand in the pulse and ask yourself if you think that's the best thing for your Baruch Hashem or not. There's a good chance it's probably not. Again, I would be polite, I'd be friendly, I'd be social, I would definitely not shy away from normal, normative conversation, but I would, once you start getting into those late, trying to sneak away conversations late at night, you know, etc., etc., so I would be very, very hesitant, very, very careful about those. That's in terms of you. In terms of controlling of campers, both mitzad effectiveness as well as mitzad MS, as well as mitzad midos. Well, you know, I guess the midos and MS are the same. In terms of effectiveness as well as in terms of midos, it's not healthy to get angry, it's much healthier to be stern. You feel you need a kid to listen, he's not listening, the approach is to be stern, to be strong. Get up now and get outside. Like a real strong, stern voice where you show that you mean it, but you're not angry. Once you get angry, usually means the kid's won. And in terms of midos, it's not the right approach. You know, you may have to act like you're angry, but never chas v'shalom to be angry. That's the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis. Act like you're serious and stern and strong, 100% legitimate. To actually lose your temper, we try, you know, again, human beings, you make mistakes. No one should feel terrible if they make a mistake, you know. Everyone makes mistakes, but you try your best not to. Just one more other nekuda in terms of controlling him. The best time, we'll use this to bridge into the chinuch area, which is really what I want to speak about mostly. The best time to correct behavior, educate a kid, work on a situation that you didn't want, whether it's the kid waking up in the morning, whether it's the kid throwing in water over the stall for some other kid in the shower or bathroom or all sorts of stuff that campers like to do, you know, whether it's hiding something, whatever. Whatever the kid did wrong, the best time to educate him is not on the spot. The best time is 20 minutes later, 2 hours later, 2 days later, you know, in a separate event. I want you to know why this following behavior can't take place in the bunk. The kid probably will understand. The more you talk to him as a mature kid, the more he'll respond as a mature kid. And that's the best way to bridge into the rule of chinuch. The more you treat kids like kids, the more they act like kids. The more you treat kids like adults, the more they act like adults. It's true about everyone. The more you treat people like kids, the more they act like kids. The more you treat people like adults, the more they act like adults. The more you expect of them and treat them with respect and expect from them maturity, the more they live up to it. That doesn't mean you say I'm treating you maturely. It means you actually do that. I think the more one-on-one mature conversations you have, the better it is. And I think this is maybe the key, I think, to being a good madrish. The more one-on-ones you have, the better it is. It could be a chavrusa. You think my kid's coming out of who knows what grade, it's not the most time. I was in camp and I remember in Morasha, I had 8 kids in my bunk learning with me b'chavrusa. Different times, one was after Shachas, one was after this. And I walked over to a kid who I thought was a popular kid, but also a good kid. And I want you to know, if you're interested, I'd love to learn a little bit of Mishnayos with you. You know, as often as you want, once a week after Shachas, twice a week after Shachas, every day. We'll learn 5-10 minutes. Then you'll run off to breakfast anyway. I'll make sure someone saves you. You bring your own cereal anyway. Right? The kids bring their own cereal and they just use a cat milk, or that's just as a yeshiva. In any event, whatever the case is, in other words, whatever the time is, each camp, some before mincha, some after mincha, some Shabbos afternoon. Most kids, if you make learning interesting, they would give it a shot 15 minutes, not over there. Most kids know learning is good. They don't necessarily enjoy it, but they know it's the right thing to do. And then if you're one-on-one with a counselor, personal time with Chavrus, it's fantastic. What should you learn? Whatever makes you most excited. If you love Pirkei Avos, go for it. If you think you could show Lumdus and Mishnais to some intelligent 8th grade kid, year 9 kid, who has never seen brilliance of Torah, that's even better. Think back to your days back in when you were 12, 13, 14 years old. You knew Torah was right, but you had no idea. Maybe some of us even last year. You knew Torah was really good from Hashem, but you never saw brilliance. You never saw depth. If you can show campers how brilliant and beautiful Torah is, but Chavrusa, It's an unbelievable thing. An unbelievable thing. They should know, wow. And even if it just means to read the Mishnayos, you know, with the article commentary, ask a couple good kashas, have a couple good terutin, have a good chakir with a nafkamin to show that the halachic system is not a bunch of random rabbis saying a bunch of random things, but to show the depth and the beauty, the intricacies and the godless of it. So I think that's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous opportunity in terms of chavrusa learning, etc., etc. More in terms of the one-on-ones. I remember I used to try my best, every single Thursday night, I try my best, the end of the week, to sit down, sit on the porch of my bunk, and to go through each kid, talk to this kid one at a time, this kid one at a time, this kid one at a time, how was your week, how's camp going, what did you enjoy, what didn't you enjoy, how's life, tell me about this, and just to like talk and have one-on-one conversation. Kids really want attention, kids want to hear it, kids want to be heard, and the kid will open up and say all sorts of things you would have never thought, you know, it's why I really miss my mother, you know what I'm saying, it's really homesick, and it's tough for me, and you know, and this kid picks on me, and I have a tough time. Then, you know, a million and one things you have never thought the kids would open up and tell you. Just start asking what's new, how you feeling, and they'll do it a lot more. I remember, you know, with this thing I used to do, so I remember the end of the first month in Camp Morshad, I had 2 months in camp, the first month, and then the second month, so a couple kids leave, but the majority of the bunk stays behind. And there were two kids in the bunk, one's a kid named Aaron, and one's a kid named John. Aaron was a popular kid, a good kid. Not a great kid, but a good kid, a little bit, had a little bit of a temper, you know, a little bit, like to pick on the losers, and John was that loser. It was Josh, I forgot his name, right? He was a real, real, real loser. no one's a loser, but he really fit the role, you know what I'm saying? He fit the part, he really did a good job putting on the scene. He wore the mask of a loser. And I remember the first summer, the kid told me it was his first summer in Morshad. Before that, he had went one summer to Seneca, one summer he went to a camp called Raleigh, which closed down. One summer he went to Masorah, one summer he went to Hillel. So I asked him, why is he coming to Morshad? Like, was he jumping from camp to camp? He told me, whatever. And then at the end of the summer, he told me he's leaving after 1 month. He doesn't want to stay a second month. This is the first positive experience he ever had in camp. The reason why he jumped from camp to camp is because everyone picks on him. Finally, he had the opportunity to have a positive experience in camp. He wants to leave after 1 month to make sure he doesn't ruin it. And he's come back next summer, the first time he ever did that. And, you know, his brother called me to thank me. And, you know, she really thought that, you know, orchestrating the kid and help arrange him. Once the kid left, this kid Aaron said to me, you know, I wish I should have dumped that kid's bed in the lake. And I said, why? The kid was, he's got like all the newest technology, the Game Boys. And at the time it was like Genesis, Sega, something or other. It was like really cool and new. He had like some back problem. He couldn't have a bunk bed, so he had the single bed at the bottom. So he kicked off some popular kid off the bed. He wouldn't let anyone sit on his bed. He wouldn't had all sorts of snacks. He wouldn't share the snacks. No one could touch the game. He was like asking, like, it wasn't his fault. He wouldn't ask to be picked on. He was asked to be picked on. So I said to the kid Aaron, I said, I want you to know that just because John doesn't have the same God-given social skills that you have doesn't mean he doesn't want it. I took Aaron aside, said that one-on-one to me, because I want you, he came to me, he's now still a Talmud, he lives here in Israel, he's married, he said, Jesse, I want you to know that line you said to me about this kid really impacted me towards high school in terms of my needles, in terms of how I was impacted, you know. It's really true, sometimes you just point out the popular kids, at the less popular kids, it's not that they want to be less popular, they just don't know how to do it. God just didn't give the same social skills. So it's just like, once he had that understanding, he was like a totally different kid the second half, for the second month. You take a kid who's quiet, kid, you give, you listen to what he has to say, kids appreciate. Take a kid who's not a cool kid, let them know you love them. I quote Rav Alon, I think recently also, Rav Alon said 90% of chinuch is letter, not 100%, is showing kids that you love them. Let them know you love them, let them know that you care, tell them they're great kids. The more you tell a kid he's a great kid, the more he lives up to the role. The more you tell a kid he's not a good kid, this kid's a trouble kid, this kid's a bad kid, this kid's annoying, the more they just naturally fill that part. Once you get a title, you fill the shoes. The more you can tell the kids one-on-one, bring them aside, you're a great kid, you know, especially a bad kid. You tell them, you know, if anyone ever tells you otherwise, don't believe me, you're a fantastic kid. I remember there was a specific kid I said it to in camp, the kid started crying, gave me a hug. I was very touched. I was choking. I had a difficult time bringing the words to my mouth. You hit me like, deep down I knew I believed the kid was a good kid, even though everyone else thought he wasn't. You know, the kid started crying and saying, you know, he gave me a hug. He said, no one ever told me I was a good kid. No one ever told me I was a good kid. I'm so, you know, really meant it. You know, people said it, but didn't really care. And I started crying myself at that moment, and it was really like a very, very, very touching moment, even for me. In other words, you know, taking a mature kid out of the context, talk to him one-on-one, he's 10 times more mature. the same kid who's, you know, whatever he's doing, totally immature, you bring him out of his context, you bring him in front of, when he's not entertaining 15 other kids, he's not getting attention from everyone, one-on-one, he's 10 times more mature. You have a mature kid who's struggling with questions about God and about life, coming at 13, 14 years old, for the first time, he's opened his eyes in these areas, and, you know, he's disappointed in, you know, whatever. The fact that no one else is bothered, but talk to him one-on-one about these issues is fantastic. The more you can throw out questions to kids, I think the better it is. Kids like answering questions. They don't like hearing the Beitar, they like answering questions. The only time they listen to, like to hear, maybe is to have a good story. We'll get to that in a second. But the more you can question, the more they have to think. Let them sit on a question a day. Whether it's a question on the parsha, a question about God, free choice, God, you know, versus divine predetermination. Whether it's, you know what I'm saying, there are kids coming out at 12, 13 years old who really are like questioning these type of things. They'd love to have an intelligent conversation with you about that. Let the kid think for a while first. Don't just start shooting information at him. There was once a story of a brisker rabbi who went to teach Chassidim. Chassidim, she tried over and over asking him kashrus. They had no patience. No, it seemed like move right there. The brisker like to sit and think, ask kashrus, and get the roots and like to really understand. So the way the Rebbe Parnas told me the story is this brisker person, he spent the entire year asking kashrus without any terutzim. Then finally the chassidim were ready to learn. So I don't know if it's exactly after the kach, but the point is, if, especially if kids are not interested naturally not thinkers, give them a question, let them think about it. I remember I used to give out questions, I told them if anyone got the right answer, depending on how difficult the question was, I'd buy them such a pizza, I'd take them out, I'd go out and pick up DJs for them, for the Moresha people in the room. You know, I guess Lovey's the same thing also. JD, everyone calls it DJ, right? Something Jericho Dairy. Jericho Dairy's DJs. And when one Jew mixed it up, the whole world got it backwards. But I remember I used to go out and say, I had a car there for me to go pick up DJs for the kid. It was no big deal. It took me 15 minutes. I was going for myself anyway. He spent his money. I didn't even do it. Saying, you know, you could even charge him for the ride, and still the kids will be happy to make it. And they'll be disappointed too. But in other words, I used to have every day when I was in camp, I had a question of the day. It was a philosophical question. Anyone got the answer that I really liked? I thought it was a good answer. I went out and let them spend their money on DJs, you know, or pizza, depending where I felt, you know. At the end of the week, I added them all up. I went out and bought the pizza thing. Positive, love, one-on-one, chavrus, those are the main stuff. One or two more quick things, and then I guess my most questionable answers. Now, I would say stories are great. If you want to prepare, like, you know, read some of these Pesach Kron books, or Hanoch Teller books, whoever the story books, they're great. If you have a Shabbos afternoon sicha, that's fantastic. You want to walk into the bunk late at night and tell stories. You know, even just, it may sound awkward at first, but to them it's not so bad. Sit down. To anyone who want to hear an unbelievable story, four kids will gather around if it's nighttime, lights out. You know, tell them stories. There's different types of stories. There's the Gedolim stories. Then there's like inspiring stories. Inspiring stories are, that's what Torah can do to a person. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Those like NCS, I'll show the stories, those type of stories. You know, they all end up, and that boy was me type of stories. You know, like where, feel free to tell those stories. Those are great. The kids like them. They like to hear them, especially the personal story about you, et cetera, et cetera. I would try my best if you want to talk about how you grew religiously, focus on the religious growth and not on the averus you did in high school. You know what I'm talking about? Like, sometimes people are like, oh, let me tell you what I did in high school. And then, like, oh, yeah, now I'm from. Like, that shouldn't be the that shouldn't be the message the kid hears. Once upon a time, he was cool that he went off to Israel. That should not be the message that the kid hears. Much more would be, he's a normal kid, and he's still normal, but he's growing religion, you know, that type of stuff. You know, in terms of, so any event, the inspiring stories, and it's like Gedolim stories. Let them know about personalities of, like, Gedolim Torah, let them know who Moshe Feinstein was a little bit. Let them know about different, you know, it shouldn't all be the same stories, and some could be funny stories. There are plenty of funny stories, the Golem stories, there's all sorts of stories out there. The more I think kids love hearing stories, they're enjoyable, they're entertaining. You know, the more you can do that type of stuff, the better it is. I would also, I would think about, you maybe want to make a list of stories, you want to take out one of those books, you know, each person their own, you know, how they want to do it. Any interesting thoughts you really like, any different Torah, feel free to share with the kids again. I think the way you get kids' attention from the different Torah is asking questions, you know, question on the Parsha, question on Chumash, question on Hachshava, Machshava, whatever it may be. I think those are really good. Let the kids ask you questions, even if you're not really tired, you can do a Q&A. I think it's healthy, you should feel free to do Q&As with your kids. Be religious, be anything, you know, again, if it's during hockey time or basketball time or football time, so usually the kids are less excited to hear what you have to say about Torah. Find the right time, but usually before they go to sleep. And the alternative is going to sleep. Could be nowadays the kids have like mamish movies in the room. You know, if you have a movie theater, it could be a tough competition. I'm not sure. I lived in the pre-movie in the bunk generation. Now every kid has an iPod with Blockbuster on it. I don't know, but I assume there should be enough. There should be enough out there. Time where tell the kids, listen. Any questions you guys want to do, I'd love to answer questions about life, about Judaism, about Torah. If you don't have all the answers, it's fine. Kids will understand that fully. Kids have no problem, you know, without talking about. They'll figure out quickly what you do know, what you are passionate about, and you know, you'll talk about those things. I assume every camper is going to want to talk about Shomer Negiah. It's the only halachic topic the kids really have no interest in keeping, but all the interest in the world are talking about. That's just the way the world is. You can understand why. It's like an intriguing topic. It starts with a kosher way to talk about sex. Additionally, it's so foreign, but like, you know, in any event. My approach is as follows. I wouldn't shy away from talking about it. I wouldn't talk about it every night. You know, it minimizes the rest of Torah. It makes Shomer Negiah look like some crazy thing that, like, you know, it further reinforces that there are some halachas that we don't keep. That's, I think, a terrible thing to reinforce. The general approach I have toward talking about Negiah with kids is as follows. Why do we do it? I'm not going to tell you. I tell this to Talmidim, I tell it to campers, I tell it to everyone. I think it's through and through the truth. Maybe you could read the Magic Touch and be really inspired and want to be Shomer Negiah if you're a girl. Maybe you want to save it to the first night if you're married and you think it's really special if you're a girl. I don't know any boys who are willing to sacrifice from age 13 until 23 for that one night. I'm saying it's just like, no one. The only reason I know why boys accept the Dinim of Megiah is because they believe it's the right thing to do and they value doing the right thing. They believe in the halachic system and they want to keep halacha. That's it. I tell the campers as well. I'm not saying everything is easy. I'm not even saying you have to keep every halacha right now. You should try your best as you can. Sometimes you're not ready for every halacha. I tell the campers, don't pretend it's not a halacha and don't pretend halacha is not important. Say, it's very important. I know it's a halacha. I'm not yet ready. And I can't, again, it's the right thing to do. I think you should do it. If you value doing the right thing, this is what you would do. It could be not ready yet. It could be you have to admit to yourself, I am not yet ready to do the right thing at this stage in life. It's not the end of the world. Meaning, it doesn't become a mitzvah still. But, you know, I'd much rather have that presentation than, yeah, we don't keep all halacha, that's our shitas. Or, we determine what halacha is. At the end of the day, it's the truth. At least be honest with yourself. It is a halacha. You're not keeping it. It's not the best thing. Okay. That's the truth. The truth is not it's not a halacha. The truth is not we don't value. The truth is it's a halacha. You yourself are not keeping it right. I am saying it's very difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. You can tell campers, which I think is true, it's more difficult to make the commitment than to live with it. Meaning the jump of saying, I'm Shomer Negiah, both psychologically and sociologically is a very difficult jump to make. Right away, you become an outcast, especially if you're not yet in high school. 11th, 12th grade, if you're good at hockey, you know what I'm saying? You know, you wear a nice hockey jacket, you can get away with it. You know, but as long as you're still in 7th, 8th grade, everyone thinks you're crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. You do what you believe is right because it's right, not because it's popular, not because it's right. Again, I really believe most kids have a tougher time making the commitments than living with the decision afterwards. Keeping the dinim are not as tough as the social peer pressure that goes against it. It requires a lot to stand up and do what's right, but we believe it's right, as well as every other halacha. What else can I tell you? In terms of kolisha that may take place in camps, you know, I reference you to the kolisha shiur. If anyone wants, they're online. You can download the kolisha shiur and get the halachas. For the most part, I would try not to make a huge stink unless it's not black and white ostrich. This is a legitimate kula to rely upon in these contexts. For sure, in terms of like the shalashudish singing with the boys and girls together, that for sure is, you know, the whole groups of people together as well as the Torah songs is for sure room to rely on over there. The other areas depends on how, you know, it depends on the situation, depends on how makubal it is in camp. When I was in Morisha, it was makubal for all the B'nai Torah to walk out during Shiriyah. if it still is, and not whatnot, all the Rebbeim would walk out, they told him walk out, we'll be standing outside, and, you know, that'd be the case. You know, you have to know what's going on. Each case is a different story. Each situation is different. You should have a rav. You have to short the Paschal Halacha Shailos. You're going to be in Moshe Vash, my tag, it's fantastic. You have another rav there, but if you're going to be another camp, you should have a rav. There's a camp rav. Just feel free to speak to your rav, and feel free, anyone wants to email me, I'll try my best to get, you know, back as possible. HornJesse@gmail.com, HornJesse@gmail.com. I'd love to feel shyless throughout the rest of your lives in Mir Hashem for sure in the summer. People should be matzliach. They're going out in the mission of shlichus, you know, to teach Torah, to emanate Torah. The Rambam's whole perspective on Torah is not just to learn, but it's lumud aminas lasos, to go out, Shabbos Shabbal Hesh for sure, and lumud lalame, according to the Rambam, has to go out to teach and to educate, to inspire. And I'm a big believer, shlichus, kiruv, chinuch are all the same category, which break down to two parts: religious education, religious inspiration, Jewish education, Jewish inspiration. And that's what Mir Hashem, Madrichim, counselors, and Shlichim are going to do. So I wish you hatzlach in your endeavors. You should try your best to inspire, to educate. The more you focus on inspiring, educating, opposing, forcing, the more likely you'll be matzliach, as well as probably the more hashkafic reasons you're doing it for. And just a quick review. Number one is to guard yourself, to make sure you're okay in terms of learning, be in a base medrash, set up a makom in a base medrash, have a place where you learn, bring in sfarim, etc., etc. Even if you're a counselor, and the base medrash, put two or three sfarim in a corner, sit in someone else's makom, have a makom where you sit and learn. It's important to identify the base medrash, have a makom in a base medrash. In terms of girls, try your best to sure avoid serious yisurim like shmiras hayinayim, Hirhurim and Yichud, and even try your best to avoid situations which will lead to those. In terms of controlling campers, need those as well as effectiveness. The more you can be stern and strong and not angry, the better it is. Try your best to educate kids, not during the incident, but afterwards. In terms of chinuch, the best thing I can say is one-on-ones. Have chavrusas, tell stories. You can talk about Shomer Negiah, don't overdo it. And Shvi Matzliach in your endeavors in terms of inspiration and education. That's the Haraba. If you have any questions, feel free to stick around. I'll stick around in a few minutes and answer them. And if I can. Tell us what we think.